First item on the agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2018-12. We now have four different drafts on this one. Mr. Toner, Ms. Zair, if you would like to come to council table, I believe that there will be questions. Mr. Wensinger, did you have anything that you would like to say to us at the opening?
Sure, might as well give a little rundown.
Give us the history. How did you get here?
Agenda documents 1843A, B, C, and new draft D are draft responses to an advisory opinion request submitted by Defending Digital Campaigns. The requester asks whether it may provide or facilitate the provision of certain cybersecurity services, software, and hardware to federal candidate committees and national party committees on a nonpartisan basis and according to predetermined objective criteria. Drafts A, C, and D conclude that the proposal is permissible, while draft B concludes that the proposal is impermissible. Since the last open meeting, we received one comment from the requester on draft C, and I'm happy to answer any questions that any of you have.
Thank you, Mr. Wensinger. I believe we probably have questions for Mr. Toner and Ms. Zair. Thank you for coming back. We appreciate it. We know you've been back several times on this, and we are always happy to see a former colleague.
I can get the technology right. The facilities are so beautiful, Madam Chair. It's always a pleasure for Ms. Zair and I to be here.
And we're always happy to see you. So we were trying very hard to get closer and closer to giving you an answer. I think everyone agrees that what you are trying to do is a worthwhile endeavor. The question is how to work it into our legal framework. And in your latest comment, you clarified that the client is planning on seeking corporate contributions in cash and in kind, which makes it a little harder for some of us. That raises a new concern. And one of the concerns that I have goes to disclosure. And I know that your client has made the commitment to disclose the donors. Could you tell me a little bit more about how you envision that working?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. First of all, I think we appreciate the agency's consideration of this matter over many months and really appreciate the efforts of everyone involved in this matter. So our clients are very committed to full transparency in terms of the contributions that are raised for this effort. I think what they'd envisioned, obviously it turned on the outcome of the advisory opinion in terms of the requirements the commission might set out, but I think what they were contemplating was disclosure on our client's website, perhaps really paralleling the same kind of disclosure information that registered committees operate with under FICA. We haven't discussed internally the particulars of how all that disclosure would look like, but the concept would be to provide the public with the same transparency and information in terms of fundraising that other political committees provide as well, and do it through the internet on the website so that it would be available for people in real time.
In real time, so in advance of any elections that, in this case, the 2020 election?
Right, and that's right, Madam Chair. And if, for example, if the commission wanted to set out a reporting schedule or indicate that we should follow the same schedule as a political committee, you know, a quarterly filing or something along those lines, my sense is that our clients are very supportive of that, very supportive of that.
Well, that's helpful. One distinction between your client and a political committee, of course, is that, as we've just discussed, your client is planning to accept corporate contributions. Now, I'm not sure exactly whether you have thought through, or your client has thought through, what kind of corporations you're talking about. I mean, because if we're talking about business corporations, then, you know, you disclose the name of the business corporation, and that pretty much answers the question of where the money is coming from. But one concern that I have is if, for example, your C4 were to accept contributions or donations from another C4, then we would not have the same kind of transparency that we get with political committees who aren't allowed to accept that kind of money. Well, super PACs are, but campaign committees and party committees aren't. And those groups have been a venue in the past for hiding donors from the public, and I would have a lot of concerns if this were to turn into another venue for dark money to be used, even for a commendable purpose, but still to be used in a way that could potentially influence members of Congress, because they would be getting something of value from these sources and the public would not be clued in as to where it was really coming from. So can you speak to whether you envision that possibility happening, whether your client is planning on soliciting from C4s and other groups that aren't as immediately transparent about where the money's coming from?
Well, I think, Madam Chair, as we indicated in perhaps the last time we were here, we have not, our client has not been building out a fundraising plan, in part because, our client really wanted to see how this advisory opinion turned out. But the two directives that our client has really emphasized to Ms. Zara and I, and also to Mr. Elias and his colleagues at Perkins Coie, is they're committed to transparency and disclosure, and whatever conditions the agency decides to establish in that area in terms of how frequently that disclosure should be or the level of detail. My sense is that they're really committed to that and also committed, as we indicated in our written materials, to accepting no contributions from foreign nationals. But otherwise, they really have not been building out their fundraising plan because they're waiting to see how the agency rules on this advisory opinion as a whole.
So what I'm taking from that is that you don't really know whether they might be either planning now or whether they might, if the option were available to them, might end up soliciting C4 groups that would not necessarily be as transparent about where the money was ultimately coming from.
There's been no discussion about soliciting particular corporate entities or 501c4s because, again, our client hasn't turned to fundraising strategies or development at this stage. Instead, is waiting to see if the agency approves the proposal as a whole. But DDC very committed to meeting the disclosure obligations that the commission might establish here in this advisory opinion. Very committed to that.
I don't want to hog the mic. Do any of my colleagues have any? Commissioner Walther?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Nice to see you here again.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good to see you.
I'm sharing the same issue as the chair in that you had me on draft C, and on this, it seems to me put somewhat of a kink in there, and I'm mostly because it's probably a non-clear kink in the future what it might look like. But to have it say indicating the DDC may at some future point consider accepting monetary donations from sources other than individuals and foundations. And I think on one point you said, if necessary, maybe that was in a previous draft. But my concern again is that this is a little bit last minute to consider that new factor, and I'm wondering if maybe we could take enough time to not say no, but to at least just help figure out how we could put some meat on the bones.
Commissioner, absolutely. And I think a couple things, differentiating between sort of in-kind provisions of goods and services and direct contributions. So as you know, in our original advisory opinion request, we went into some detail about the framework of working with a wide variety of entities for the provision of goods and services. What would typically be seen as an in-kind contribution if the activity were a contribution in the first place. And so that's definitely the heart of what DDC would like to do. But then, as we indicated the last time we were here and then in our written comments, in terms of direct contributions, there just have been no plans thus far to seek contributions from corporate entities or entities beyond individuals and foundations. But DDC would like to have the potential ability to consider that in the future if it did become necessary. So that's sort of where they are on that side of things.
Well, it's just, it seems to me that with a little bit of work, we could make it work. We, as you can tell, we've all been working on this one, and we want to make sure we can get this thing through because of the need to have it. We know all of you. We know that, you know, it's a chance to do this with maybe just a little stretch here and a little stretch there. But on this one right now, I just would wonder if maybe we couldn't put a fine point on this. And I don't know how much of a hurry you are, but maybe we come back to the next meeting and see if we can't have something that we'll have some thought given to it.
No, absolutely. We like I said earlier, we really appreciate everyone's efforts on this matter, and our client's committed to providing as much time as the agency might need to grapple with these issues.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Toner, is there for the information that you've provided to us and for the efforts that that have been taken to try to reach a consensus on this. I guess I'm a little concerned about, this is now the third meeting at which we've considered this matter, and there seems to be a pattern that's developing where we get here, talk, appear to be close, but not quite there, say, well, we just need a little more time, and then we get to the next meeting, another issue arises, that the can has been getting kicked down the road quite a number of times now. And I'm wondering whether or not it seems as if the modification, you said you were on draft C, and the modification that we see in draft D is relatively modest, so it's not that we are looking at an extensive change that I think requires an inordinate amount of thinking and time to take into account. Is there a specific thought that you had that would address your concerns? Because if you were on draft C, it seems like the difference between draft C and draft D are relatively minor, and frankly, don't change the analysis in any meaningful way. And so I'm wondering if there's something that we might be able to discuss here in the now that might actually be able to resolve this for the commission, allow the requester to have the security of an advisory opinion. Because it seems like what might be necessary wouldn't require a tremendous amount of a heavy lift or an extensive amount of a language change. And so I want to ask my colleague what he might envision and whether or not we might be able to get to a yes now rather than having to kick the can down the road another time and risk potentially running into the same problem at that meeting as well.
I mean, we all know each other where we pretty much are, but this is something that I just read a few hours ago, so I think it's a new consideration. It's not kicking the can down the road very far, but you can call it what you want. But it is potentially, not right for today, but maybe for tomorrow, we'll regret the fact that we had it so open-ended. So I'm just interested in trying to tie it down and still make it realistically. I wouldn't worry about the vote sliding. We know pretty much where we are. My sense is we settled pretty close on draft C, but I'm not sure until we vote, of course. So I'd like to give us till the next meeting to see if we couldn't. We give some thought, see if we can tie it down now rather than some later date.
Did you have a further comment, Mr. Vice Chairman?
I'm just saying that I'm concerned about the time that we've taken on this so far, and how long it's taken us. I mean, this is the third meeting at which we've considered this. We have four drafts. The comment came in the door on Monday. It wasn't an extensive comment. The edit that was made to the draft was not an extensive edit. I'm just concerned that that this process is starting to develop a certain pattern, and I'm wondering if we are going to be able to successfully bring this to a conclusion, or if there are concerns that we don't think that you're going to be able to find some comfort on. I don't know. I'm wondering how much more time you anticipate needing.
Well, I think Commissioner Walther has asked that we take until the next meeting. I appreciate your concern on the timeliness of this. Timeliness is always a concern for me as well. You know, I suppose commissioners can differ as to whether receiving new information on Monday is adequate time to fully consider all the ramifications by Thursday. But, you know, one issue that has been really important for Commissioner Walther and for me has been the disclosure aspect. I recognize that that has not been as key a factor for all of the commission. But for some of us, the representation that the requester was willing to disclose the donors is a very key fact and is, in fact, essential to getting four votes. So whether it is spelled out, whether there are stipulations in the draft or not, it's going to take all of us to be on the same page in order to get a yes answer. And two of us think that disclosure is essential. So, you know, unless we are comfortable with the disclosure, there probably won't be those four votes. And adding in corporate, the possibility of corporate solicitations, you know, I think it is less of a concern on the in-kind side of, you know, getting corporate employees to, you know, to donate their time. And in fact, you know, I think that's the tech community owns a little bit of the problem that has been created here. So if the tech community wants to step up and donate services to help fix the problem, I think that's not a bad result. But when we start talking about soliciting cash and soliciting cash from, we don't know from whom, from potentially dark money sources, that raises red flags for some of us. And, you know, if your client were willing to make representations that they weren't going to be soliciting that kind of money, then, you know, that would, I think, make it easier for, I don't want to speak for Commissioner Walther, but it would certainly alleviate concerns for me. So I think that's kind of where we are.
I'd like to know if
Commissioner Hunter,
Mr. Toner, or Ms. Sarah have a comment about that.
Well, two things. When is the next commission meeting? Is it in two or three weeks? Do we know when that is?
Well, we have a calendar coming up.
6 weeks?
No, I was just kidding.
No, it's it looks like it is in 2 weeks, the 23rd.
23rd of May. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't have that in front of me.
Yes.
So, I mean, like I said earlier, our clients, the direction they've given to us is to be fully committed to disclosure and whatever parameters the agency establishes in that area. That's really where our client is. They've been at that place throughout the process, and they agree that having transparency in this area is really vital. So I think that's where they are, and whatever conditions the agency might put in the disclosure area, I think they're committed to meeting.
Well, I think it's probably not going to work quite that way, because I don't think there will be four votes to put conditions on disclosure in the draft. In fact, you know, we've already had a lot of back and forth on that aspect of the advisory opinion behind closed doors, you know, I thought that the draft should be more closely tied to a specific requirement on disclosure. That was not going to get four votes. So I don't think it will be a question of the commission laying out conditions, because we won't have four votes to lay out conditions. It's going to work the other way around, where what representations is the requester able to make that would secure four votes, if you catch my drift here.
Right, right. But you can appreciate, Madam Chair, we're here to seek the direction of the agency.
However
you come out on it, we're going to respect. I mean, that's the reality. And what our clients have emphasized is disclosure on the internet in regular intervals, for example, the same type of disclosure schedule that a political committee operates with, they're very comfortable with. And so that's their direction to us on that.
And it may well be that, you know, they might hear about this discussion and say, oh, well, if that's their concern, then you know, we're happy to represent that we're not going to solicit money from dark money groups, however you want to. I assume it wouldn't be framed in exactly that way. And that might be very helpful. Again, I don't want to speak for Commissioner Walther. It would be helpful to me. And I would rely on those representations in issuing the advisory opinion. I want to ask a question just sort of to go back to something we were talking about last time. And forgive me if, I don't think I asked this exact question last time, but we talked about the possibility of the party committees paying for these kinds of services and making them available to their candidates. Have you given any thought to using, say, the building funds as, you know, sort of defining building as including the hardware, software, cybersecurity apparatus? Thought about going down that road, maybe?
So a couple things. I think, Madam Chair, there was a dialogue on that the last time we were here. I think Mr. Elias, there was an exchange who shared that there was some suspicions on the Democratic side in terms of the ability of the DNC and the other national party committees to play this kind of role, which obviously I'm not equipped to speak to. But I do remember there was a dialogue there, and the sense that, or maybe it was Mr. Mook that was detailing this, but I remember there was someone who was talking about this idea that at least in the Democratic campaign community, it was hard for them to see the DNC or the National Democratic Committees being able to play that kind of role. So obviously, I defer to my Democratic colleagues on that, and I'm not aware of any specific consideration of using a building fund type concept. No.
But you haven't talked to the party committees about that?
I have not, no.
I mean, the client?
Right, not to my knowledge, no. No.
Commissioner Hunter.
Thank you. So it seems as if there's two separate issues. One, what the chair and Commissioner Walther call disclosure. You've already represented that you will provide full disclosure. It's in your representations. It seemed like everyone was okay with that representation because it sounds like I don't want to speak for anyone, but it sounded like we had 4 votes for draft C. So it seems like disclosure is not really the issue. The issue is, are you going to take money from so-called dark money groups? And I guess that's related in your mind to disclosure.
Yeah.
So you have the ability to do so, of course, as a 501C, but you're hearing concern from my colleagues that they don't want you to do that. And you're saying, I don't know yet because we haven't gotten that far. But I'm trying to figure out what kind of condition you're asking him to put in his representations. I don't know if I were Toner what I would go back to my client and say. They just don't like certain kind of corporations is kind of what I'm hearing. I don't know. Corporations don't disclose their donors. So I'm not really sure what he's supposed to do.
Well, that's the point. That okay. Corporations don't disclose their donors. Now, business corporations don't have donors. They've got, you know, customers. But, you know, people understand where the money's coming from when you're dealing with a business corporation. When you're dealing with C4s, it's a different story.
So I don't want to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
So you're okay if they take money from, I'm sorry, you call them business corporations?
I would probably be okay with what they're proposing, even with the addition of taking money from corporations, if we were talking about business corporations, and they would be disclosed, and you know that would obviate my concerns that this would become another venue for, as I said, undisclosed donors to be providing things of value to members of Congress, and you know the public being left in the dark about that.
And I do think, Madam Chair, that framework could work really well for us. What you just sketched out, because like I said earlier, I don't think there's any active consideration of soliciting funds from however we might want to define dark money organizations. So for example, if the agency, if there were 4 votes to approve one of these drafts, we have so many here I can't keep them straight, but one of these drafts that detailed the disclosure side of things and the fact that DDC would have the ability to have the option of soliciting contributions from for-profit business corporations, but that DDC currently doesn't have any plans to solicit contributions from or accept contributions from, however you want to define it, dark money or trade association or however you want to define that. I think that could work very well.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that, because, you know, there's a lot of money in the business community. I wouldn't be surprised if that was what, you know, the client had in the back of their mind, that, you know, maybe they would want to go to the business community for donations for something like this.
And we'd be supportive of an adoption of an opinion along those lines if there's consensus in that area with those distinctions. We would be.
So as long as they're in the conditions, and we've established that the conditions are good enough for people, your Toner's saying he might be able to go back and add that in there. So for-profit business corporations are okay. I don't know how you would define the people who aren't okay. So maybe you just, I mean, I'm just, did we say foundations were okay? I can't remember.
Yes.
Foundations are okay?
And if, you know, by your question, I'll just kind of, you know, jump ahead on that. If your suggestion is that foundations can also be a venue for money, you're right. You're right.
Right. But, I was thinking, you know, of the Kellogg Foundation. And I don't think they disclose their donors.
No, I think you're right, and that's also a concern. But foundations have at least the protection that they operate under C3 of the tax code.
So, do you want to say C3s and for-profit business corporations, if Toner's client agrees to that, are okay with you?
Where would that leave LLCs? I'm trying to think of all the entities that have been problematic in other contexts. I think LLCs could also be a problem. But, you know, I think this is resolvable.
Well, I think it's helpful with, you know, to have the clients here, to have the requesters here, you know. So I think Peterson's suggestion of trying to, you know, talk it through now is a good one, because I don't want us to be, you know, sitting here next week trying to figure out what we want to ask Toner for. So, again, so far, for-profit business corporations are okay, C3s are okay, LLC, so...
But not C4s, C6s, LLCs. And again, I'm just speaking for myself now. Commissioner Walters also asked for more time to think about this, and I don't want to jump in front of him.
Well, I think those are all items to work through. I don't think right now is the time, but. Definitely, we want to help you get this thing off the road. So, I can remember when I first got on the commission, and there's Mr. Toner, and we went in. I was going to make some suggestions, 1, 2, 3, 4, and I had real strong views about it. And we went through, and he kept nodding me how much, what a great idea I had, And I'll be darned if I didn't give him about half of them or more. And that is really a good person to negotiate with. But that was some time ago.
You're too kind, Commissioner.
Well,
some time ago, that's right. The other element there's been some discussion about is potentially seeking government grants. That's obviously very different than the flow of money we're talking about now. But, for example, if there were government grants to help assist DDC in this effort, they might think about applying for those grants.
Yeah, I don't see that as problematic, since... I would be happy if the government funded the whole thing.
You know, through State Department or Department of Homeland Security, there might be some grant-making authority where they might seek some funds from the government in that manner.
So in this framework, the Chamber of Commerce, which I think is a C6, wouldn't be able to participate?
That's right.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But any member of the Chamber of Commerce could.
As long as they were a for-profit business corporation.
Isn't that who joins the Chamber of Commerce?
I think that's mostly, but I'm not sure if they have any non-for-profit organizations. Probably not.
I honestly don't know.
I'm not sure.
Commissioner, former Commissioner Toner has been around the block on these issues of transparency and money flowing through organizations. I suspect he understands my concerns here.
It's like Groundhog Day. Where's Bill Murray if we're not talking about transparency and flows of money through multiple entities?
Do we have any other questions, comments?
So would it,
Commissioner Hunter?
Commissioner Walther, would you like me to add that language in now, or do you want to?
No, I want to have time to consider it for the next meeting.
So what I propose that.
And if you have some new ideas, you know, based upon how you've heard that we've considered things in, you know, government grants or whatever might, as you're thinking about it, and it sounds to me like your clients are still working on how they're want to go for at least the time being. So if we can embellish on that, that'd be great too. But I'm not inclined to hold you guys up. I just want to refine this based upon this new information.
Another possible way of getting at it would be limiting it to C corps. It's been a long time since I cracked open a corporate law book, but that might be another path.
So in lieu of for-profit business corporations?
I think C corps might capture it.
Well, I don't know what's wrong with describing it in that way. I mean,
well, I think there could be some LLCs who are for-profit business corporations.
And we don't like LLCs now? Oh yeah, that was in the no category. Sorry.
LLCs have been a venue for dark money in other circumstances that have come before the commission. I know that you're not as concerned about dark money as I am, Commissioner, but it's a concern for some of us. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to, while we still have Mr. Toner and Ms. Ayer here, just want to confirm that this is the sticking point at this point. Are there any other issues that we need to hash out now while we have them here that might give us some useful guidance going forward so that we don't unearth another issue that's going to be a tripping point the next time along? Is there anything else, or is this really the financing issue? If we can hammer this out, do we anticipate that this is kind of the final hurdle?
This is the only issue I'm concerned about.
Okay.
Yeah, for me, it's all about disclosure.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Commissioner Hunter.
So what I'd like to do is circulate a draft E, maybe this afternoon, adding the language that we just discussed, basically to the same place where we added the language requested by the requester in the comment submitted earlier this week, and see if that works for people.
So, well, what the amendment talked about, what the comment said. So are you suggesting that this would be a requirement that the commission would say?
No, because that's not where we added the last language.
No, it isn't, but we don't have that representation yet from the requester, so we can't put words in their mouth.
That's true. So once we hear back, just trying to figure out the timing, you know, like what comes first. So I guess, but he can't react to what we're putting in there until he knows what's in there. So why don't we put it in first, and then the requester can say yay or nay. Instead of waiting for him to comment, he doesn't know what we want to put in there. He would just be guessing, just like the rest of us. So we'll try to put something in there this afternoon, see if it's okay with our colleagues. If it is, we'll make it blue, and then the requester can comment. How's that?
Happy to consider draft E.
Does that sound like a plan?
Absolutely. And we would plan to provide comments just like we did in the last round of drafts. Absolutely, Commissioner.
Okay.
And who knows, you know, maybe you'll come up with the magic formulation and we'll be happy and they'll say that works for us and we could even do it on tally before the next meeting.
Well, I'm just going to add the stuff that we talked about. I don't know how magic it is unless somebody has any other ideas. But yeah, maybe we could do it on tally. That'd be great.
I think that's the best words in the English language, tally vote. It sounds real good right now.
It does, doesn't it? It frequently sounds really good to me, Commissioner, but you know, it's hard to achieve around here, particularly because we have lost the ability with only four of us to have somebody just object for the record and, you know, move it along. We all have to be on board. Any further comments, questions? Okay, then. Well, thank you. It was very useful having you come in again. We appreciate it.
Thank you. And we really appreciate the consideration here and the issues that we're working through.
We are trying to get there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.